Hello, everybody. Welcome to Easter service here at Rogers Assembly Online. I'm so glad you chose to join us today. We know that even though we are in the midst of pandemic and we are in the midst of social distancing, that that cannot stop the Christian from celebrating a resurrected King in our heart, because we serve a God who was once dead and is now alive. We serve a God who came unto his own, but his own did not receive him, and he was beaten and he was mocked and he was crucified and he was laid in a tomb for 3 days, left to the power of sin and to the power of death. But we serve a God who was too strong. He was too strong for the grip of death, and he was too strong for the gates of hell, because they had no power over him. And the finality of the tomb was no match for a Jesus who rose victorious on the third day with healing in his wings, and he holds the keys to life and death. And we as Christians get to celebrate the power of a resurrected God, not just on Easter, but every single day of our lives, because our God is a God who was once dead and who is made alive, and because of that, now lives inside of us. We feel his presence. We know his presence. His presence is wherever we go, and for that, we are eternally thankful and grateful. God's presence is with us this morning, and I know God's presence is there with you wherever you're at. Wherever you're at this morning, whether you're at home in your living rooms, you're streaming this on your TV, your computer, your tablet, your phone, I want you to know that God has a word from the Lord unto you. So I want to speak today to everyone who is out there that might be experiencing doubt in your life. Maybe you're in a season of trouble. Maybe you're in a season of doubt. Maybe you're in a season where your relationships are broken and they're strained. Maybe you're in a place of toxicity where you can't breathe, or everything you do is being scrutinized and you're under a lot of pressure. Maybe you're in a place today where you're unsure of your future. You're unsure of your employment. You're unsure of the unemployment that might be coming in. You're unsure of a stimulus check. You're unsure of when the next bill's going to get paid. You're unsure of a relationship that has been broken in the past and it weighs on your heart. You're unsure of a situation that you're in. Maybe it's through work, maybe an employer, maybe a fellow employee. Maybe God is doing something in your life that you don't understand. I want you to know that God is speaking to you today, and God has a plan for you, not to doubt, not to struggle, but to have faith. And because Jesus came not to make sick things well, Jesus came so that dead things could be resurrected into life. And I believe that God has a plan for you today. Even though we doubt sometimes, even though we struggle, I want you to know that the battle has already been decided. The victory is secure. Jesus paid for our victory on a cross just over 2,000 years ago, where you and I do not have to live in the clutches of defeat and sin, but that yoke has been broken on a cross named Calvary, and Jesus holds our victory in the palm of his hand, bought and paid for. We serve a resurrected King, and if he is resurrected, then surely he can resurrect me and my life. I want you to know that God is working in your life today, church. And so today I hope to speak to broken hearts and broken dreams and broken relationships and every broken person who's watching this place. And I declare to you today that Jesus is more than enough for you. There is healing. There is deliverance in Jesus. If I just described you, I want you to know that you're in good company. Jesus' disciples often felt in times of struggle, times of doubt, times of worry. It was shortly after his burial. The Lord Jesus was crucified, laid in a tomb. His disciples felt the full extent and the gravity of the events that just unfolded before their very eyes. And they felt the pressure of the Roman and the Jewish persecution that was in full effect. And Jesus' disciples, the 11 of them, because one had already betrayed him and left, those 11 disciples locked themselves in a room for fear of the persecuted, hostile world that was around them. And Jesus shows up in that room and he reveals himself to his disciples as a resurrected king. And he says this in Luke 24, 38. He says, "Why are you troubled and why do doubts rise in your minds?" That's a great question, Jesus. Why are we so troubled? Why are we so doubtful? Let me take a guess. God, we're so troubled, we're so doubtful because everything that we have come to know and everything that we've come to believe now seems like a mirage. Like it's just faded away. Like we've been painting with watercolors all this time and it's just beginning to rain and now what we had created is now gone. Jesus, we're troubled and we doubt because everything we built is it's been bulldozered by the persecution. The God that we had hope in, the person of Jesus as our Messiah to come and to restore Israel to a place of prominence, now lays in a grave. We fear for our lives. We've locked ourselves in a room, fearful of everything on the outside. Jesus, I think we have a reason to be troubled. I think we have reason to have doubt. We all have doubt. We all have trouble. Well, welcome to being human. But that doesn't mean that God hasn't designed a better path for us. Today, church, let me dive into finding faith in the midst of doubt. Today, I want to look at three derivatives of doubt and know that we can still have faith. The first derivative that I want to look at today, church, is that doubt is a dream killer. Doubt is a dream killer. Somewhere along the way, I'll bet you had great big plans. Maybe it was to go to a prestigious college. Maybe it was to get that big promotion at work. Maybe it was to own your own home. Maybe it was to be a missionary or a pastor. Maybe it was to feel the call of God in your life and to follow that call out. Maybe it was to own your own business. Maybe it was to get married and have 2.5 kids and to live out in the country. But somewhere along the way, doubt moved in and hijacked your dreams. It happens to us all. It happens to the best of us. Doubt is something that we all have to deal with. The disciples met a resurrected Jesus that day, and he helped increase their faith. But someone that wasn't with them in that room, a man by the name of Thomas. And in John chapter 20, 25, we pick up Thomas, and we pick up his part of the story. And Thomas says this, he says, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and I put my fingers where the nails were and I put my hands into his side, I will not believe." I will not believe. Thomas was he was guilty of something that we're guilty of so many times, is that we doubt too. We have our doubts. Oh, I don't doubt God. God is all powerful. God's all knowing. God's everywhere. God can do what he wants to do. I think we're all on the same page as that. I don't doubt that God can't do it. I don't doubt that God can't heal. I don't doubt that God can't interrupt someone's life and cause the brokenhearted to be restored. And he sets the captives free, and he restores bad marriages. He heals broken relationships, and he causes things that aren't as if they were. I understand God can do all of that. I just doubt that God wants to do that for me. And in me and through me. Especially when everything in my life, and I'm talking about everything, tells me the opposite. I feel empty. I feel hollow. I feel numb because I just hurt too much. Sometimes we get so lackadaisical with all of this religious stuff, with all of the religious people, with all of the churchgoers, and we say, it's good for some. It's just not good for me. It's working for you, and I love that, but it doesn't work for me. I can think that that was Thomas's emotions in that moment. Thomas came in to that room when all the other disciples had already met a resurrected Jesus, and Thomas did not. Thomas come in, and all he had was secondhand information, and he was still hurting. He was still grieving. He was still upset about the events of the crucifixion. And I can imagine Thomas looking over at Peter saying, Peter, man, my boy, Peter, dude, I know that you denied Christ, and I know that you were in a bad place. But now I see a turnaround. I see something different. And I'm so glad that your relationship with the Lord is working for you. I'm so glad that you have something that's giving you hope and giving you a future. John, man, my man, John, I love you so much. Dude, everybody loves John. John, I remember how you were just so upset and you were so downtrodden, but now things are changing in your life and things are turning around, and I see a glimmer of hope, and I understand that your relationship with Jesus is working. But I'm not in that place. My experience is not the same as your experience. And I can't get past my trouble and my doubt. My experience just isn't the same as your guys's. It would take a miracle right now for me to have faith because I hurt so bad. When we get to those moments, our doubt kills our dreams. Our doubt paralyzes us right where we're at, and it keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from pursuing God. Our doubt prevents us from stepping forward in faith in anything that God has given us. Our doubt focuses more on our surroundings than on God. Our doubt slows our pursuit of him to a screeching halt. That's why, church, it's so important to have godly friends. And this leads me to a second derivative, is that our friends oftentimes dictate our direction. Our friends oftentimes dictate our direction. Thomas was in a place of trouble. He was in a place of doubt. He wasn't alone in that, though. His friends experienced the same thing. The only difference is that they had a new experience, one with a resurrected king. And his friends come in, and the disciples, and they begin to share with Thomas, this is what happened to us. It was their testimony. In John 20:25, it says, they exclaim, we have seen the Lord. And I want you to know that God doesn't always work miracles through supernatural fashion. Sometimes God wants to do a work in your own life, and he does it through the person sitting next to you. Sometimes what God wants to do in your life, comes from those that are closest to us. The other disciples, they come, they get Thomas, and they say, Thomas, get, you know what, man, Thomas, I feel you. I get you. I was you a few days ago. I was doubting. I was hurting. I didn't believe. But then this is my experience that Jesus met me in a real place, and Jesus changed my life. He changed my direction. He lifted me out of the miry clay in the pit of myself that where I was, and he set my feet on solid rock. He took my pain. He turned my pain into joy. He took my hopelessness, and he turned it around, and he made it a firm foundation in my life. And the doubt that I kept tripping on, and the doubt that kept stumbling me, the doubt that was preventing me from moving forward, the doubt that was preventing me from growing in myself, the doubt that was preventing me from reaching my potential, the doubt that was preventing me from being happy, me being content, me finding peace in my life, has been erased because of what Jesus has done for me, because he showed up in a real way. Listen to me, church. Sometimes God wants to do something in your life from those that are around you. I think that maybe this Easter, one of the most spiritual things that we can do in an act of worship today is to get rid of some of those people that we hold close to. And I don't mean just get rid of them, just kick them on out of the house, nothing like that. I mean, who do we follow on Facebook? Whose feeds pop up that we see regularly? Who are we following on Twitter? Who comes up on our phone list and our contacts list? Who are we talking to? I want you to know that our friends that we hold close to us, our friends that we converse with, our friends that we talk with, our friends that we read their posts on a daily basis, they will either raise your faith or they will raise your doubts. They will either raise your faith or they will raise your doubts. And so it's important to surround ourselves with people who are going to raise our faith. That's what Thomas's friends were doing for Thomas in that moment. They were raising Thomas's faith. They were saying, Thomas, I know you're hurting. I know you're doubting, but God is alive. It was their testimony that kept speaking into Thomas's life. The last and maybe the most important derivative that I want to talk to you today about doubt is that faith and doubt are not mutually exclusive. Hebrews 11:1 tells us this. It says, now faith is being confident in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Faith is knowing even though we don't see. And as Christians, we're supposed to exude faith all the time. Faith is supposed to pour out of everything that we are. We're supposed to eat it and breathe it and drink it and sleep it. If you're real spiritual, you even sweat it. We listen to faith-based radio. We listen to faith-filled TV. We go and see faith-oriented movies. And so we're supposed to exude faith at all times. But in reality, doubt creeps in and plays a role in how we process life. It's natural for us to experience doubt. And when we experience doubt as a Christian, we oftentimes feel like hypocrites. We feel like I should be better than this. God, I've been going to church all my life, but I still have doubt. I should be further along. But we're human. And all humans have doubt. I want you to know today, church, that even pastor has doubt. Even pastor has doubts. There are times when I walk into a hospital room and people are not hours, but minutes away from stepping into eternity. And we pray, and we pray for healing. And we pray for God's best. And we pray for God to do a work. But I have my doubts. Sometimes people come into my office and we do marriage counseling. And they sit there and we start unwinding the dynamics of their relationship. And they say, Pastor, said, we know that God has put us together. And I sit back and I kind of scratch my head and I have my doubts. There are times when the bill comes in the mail and the bill is greater than the balance of my checking account. And I look at it and I say, I don't know how we're going to pay that bill. I don't know how. I know that God will provide, that God will see to it that we manage this and we get this paid. But I have my doubts how. Church, I followed God most of my life. I've gone places in my life that God's called me to. I've done things that God's asked me to do. I gave to things that God has asked me to give to. I've worked in places that God has called me to work at. But let me tell you, I'm just like you. I have my doubts. The truth is today is that faith is not the absence of doubt. Faith is moving forward in spite of our doubts. God, I can't see it, but I'm going to believe it anyway. God, I don't know how, but I'm going to trust in you anyway. God, I don't know what you're doing or why you're telling me this or what I'm supposed to get for this, but God, I'm going to follow and serve and do it your way. I don't know why today, God, that we can't meet in church. I don't know why we have this pandemic that is afflicting everybody, but I believe that you're going to be glorified through this and that you have a plan and that you have a purpose. God, I don't know if I'm going to financially make it through this in the same footing that I went coming into this. I don't know what these next few months have, but by faith, it comes from not seeing, but yet believing. I have my doubts, but I will follow you anyway. Friends, Thomas wrestles with a troubled heart. He has doubts in his life, and he makes a declaration, an open declaration to all of the disciples and says, I will not believe. I'm not going to believe it until I can put my fingers in the holes of his nail-torn wrist. I'm not going to believe it until I see his side. And I want you to know what happens next in the story. John chapter 20, verse 26. It says, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Notice God did not answer Thomas right away. Notice that God wasn't just saying, Thomas, I see you at your point of need and I'm going to do something right now in this moment. See, sometimes God is doing something in our lives that requires a little bit of time. It requires a percolation. Every pregnant woman knows this, that God is doing something so miraculous, so mighty, so wonderful on the inside. But we can't have it right away. It's going to take 9 months for that thing to gestate. It's going to take 9 months to create a new life. It's going to take 9 months to receive a blessing in its totality. And we don't want it any sooner. If we were to have it any sooner, it would ruin the gift of what God is doing. But oftentimes we ask ourselves, God, why can't I have it right now? I feel the pressure. I feel the burden. I need it right now. God, why are you silent? What are you doing in my life where I can't feel you, I can't see you, and all I know is trouble and doubt? In that moment, God says, I have never left you. I have never forsaken you. I am right beside you. I am right with you this entire time. But you need to know something. You need to know that what I am doing in your life is so wonderful. It's so marvelous. It's so exciting. It's a blessing from God. But it's going to take some time to get there. It's going to take some time to gestate. It's going to take some time to come to fruition. God made Thomas wait 1 week, and Thomas was brought back to that same room, standing in the same place where he declared his trouble and his doubt. And in that moment, Jesus reveals himself to Thomas, and he says, Thomas, here I am. Put your fingers in my hands. Look here. Here is my side. And Thomas, with an undeniable turn and change of heart, declares, my Savior, my Lord, and my God. This Easter, you might be approaching Easter with doubt. You might not feel like God is moving in your life. You might not see God moving in your life. You might be in a season of doubt. You might be in a season of trouble. You might be in a season of depression. I want to remind you that faith is not the absence of doubt. Doubt is just the conduit that faith runs through. And sometimes we have to go through a season of doubt so that our faith can be on full display to say, God, I don't understand all of the surroundings, all of the circumstances. God, I just don't see it. I don't feel it. Everything around me is falling away, but I am going to trust in you anyway. Do not let your doubt paralyze you into standing still. Do not let your doubt cripple your goals. Do not let your doubt lead you to a season of trouble and unbelief in your life. But in your season of doubt, in your season of anxiety, in your season of trouble, allow your faith to rise up. Allow your faith to rise up like never before. Allow your faith to press forward in life. To say, God, I can't see what you're doing, but I'm moving forward anyway. I don't know how. I don't know why, but my faith is all in you. Your assurance is all I need. Jesus, you are all I need. You're all I need. You're all I need. Church, today, allow faith to raise up in your life. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we pray today that for every single person, every single man, woman, child that's listening to this, God, as we experience things like we've never experienced before, we're in quarantine, we're doing life in different ways, we're communicating in different ways, God, where everything seems so uncertain, God, through the midst of pandemics, through the midst of storms and tornadoes, through the midst of, you know, blood moons that are surfacing, God, we understand that you are all we need in a season of uncertainty. God, you are our focal point. You are our strength. God, today, this Easter, would our faith be squarely in a resurrected King to say, God, I don't know how you rose from the grave. I don't know how you did it, but my faith is in you. We're moving forward completely. God, you're going to move in my life. You're going to move in my situation. I don't know how, but my faith is completely in you. God, to you and you alone be all glory and all honor. Lord, we pray these things in your name. Amen. Amen.